As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome back to another episode of The Beat, presented by BetMGM, the exclusive betting partner of The Athletic. Sign up at BetMGM.com with that promo code THEATHLETICPOD. I'm, of course, Nick Bongrunner, along with Brendan Quinn. Coast to coast, we've got you covered here. Brendan's on the Pacific. Well, sort of.
Hey.
He's not on the Pacific. In the Pacific Coast time zone. Anywhere, the Pacific time zone. You're inland. In Vegas. I'm, of course.
Wow, well said.
I'm, of course, Jesus here Christ. In Michigan. As we're underway, I'm not restarting, so we're going to keep going on this one.
You're supposed to be the one that has his shit together for this show.
I got all crossed
up
after I had to read that BetMGM thing that they make us do.
You're coming off the Michigan State, Ohio State game and going into Michigan, Ohio State. I thought you were going to kind of be keyed in. Me, on the other hand, I don't know.
You don't know what's going on?
I don't know where I am. I don't know what day it is.
How's Vegas?
It's Vegas, man. Yeah. It's a goddamn nightmare.
Are you out till 4 every night?
Well, I mean, part of it is these games.
Are you getting to bed on time?
Like, the games are so late.
Yeah. Oh, God, I know.
I'm old, and I'm incapable of just, like, going home and going to bed.
Well, sure. I mean, because...
Because I'm an idiot.
What was the first one? The Michigan played at like 12:30 Eastern the one night, right? It was like 9:30 Pacific.
Yeah, and it was the day I got here. Like, I landed at it was like 11 p.m. Eastern time, and then went over to the arena for the game like that night. And it was just like I was getting, I got like into my hotel room that night at like 4 a.m. I'm like, oh, well, this is just a absolute disastrous, like, everything's going to be screwed.
Yeah.
I'm done. I have to do this for 8 days in a row. I'm old as shit.
This couldn't
I'm all
have
broken.
Started worse. You couldn't have gotten off to a worse start on the trip.
But it's the hoops have been okay. There's been some good games. Tonight is Michigan. Jesus. Tonight is Gonzaga UCLA 1-2. So that's
big cool. time.
Tomorrow will be the Maui Invitational Championship game.
Yep,
that should be good. Thursday. No games.
All right. Golf. Yeah. Golf and your Thanksgiving Thanksgiving buffet.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Friday, Gonzaga Duke.
Oh.
Getting the hell out of here.
You leaving Friday night or Saturday morning? Are you gonna
Saturday
be
morning.
Are you gonna be flying over this?
Well, no.
Now,
yeah,
are you
bet
gonna
bet your ass that the Friday game
Buddy,
Gonzaga
listen.
Duke is a 10 Eastern time tip off, so I couldn't even catch a red eye if I wanted it.
So are you gonna be flying over the stadium around that time? Like,
I think I'm gonna be in the air during the game.
That you were the one time when this happened?
For the second time. The blown spot, or whatever you want to call it.
I was in the air
for that game, and I'm pretty sure I'm gonna be in the air for this game.
You gonna pull up Brandstetter and Deardorff? You know, this is their last one together.
No, man. I'm gonna have it.
Deardorff,
I mean, it's on ABC, so
Dan Deardorff,
the good thing is
and Jim Brandstetter. This is their last Ohio State game. Yeah, they're done.
Man.
Angelique wrote that at the beginning of the year, that this is their last hurrah. So they'll have a new broadcast team next season. But for Branstetter, this is like 40 years or something. But Deerdorf, wow. Yeah, too. So.
Wow.
You have to catch those guys as you're flying over the stadium. Could be chaos again.
Yeah, that's a that's end of an era type stuff.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, you know, the good thing about a cross-country flight is I assume it'll have a TV with the live.
Oh, sure, nowadays, yeah. Not back then. Okay,
so I'll get in there. I'll use some drink vouchers. I'll just sit there and have a good time. I'm just gonna be cooking up podcast takes fly.
There'll be some nervous.
In the exit row.
There'll be some nervous people on that plane if you're flying from somewhere to Detroit in the middle game.
That's a great point. But. They're probably not going to appreciate me cackling, laughing anytime anything stupid happens.
Yeah. Anyway, Michigan, of course, gets to 10-1 by routing Maryland. In impressive fashion, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, Maryland is a team that, you know, I watched that Michigan State game back before Michigan State, Ohio State, and Maryland had them, you know, in a spot where that was a pretty close game in the second half. Michigan State made a couple plays and pulled away, where it could have been close, mm-hmm. I should say. But Michigan, this was never really, you know, they sort of dropped the hammer, got a lot of stuff done in this game, including a lot on tape with Donovan Edwards, which I think is a huge deal as you go into the Ohio State game.
Right.
And just in general, you know, can't think of too many times, you know, they've had a couple like this where they've come into this game feeling pretty good about themselves. This is probably up there, I'd say, over the years that been around here, that in terms of feeling confident. You know, I wrote this morning, people have asked all year about, you know, what team would you maybe compare this to of Harbaugh's, and the 2015 is the one that I always think about, and just kind of how that team felt in the second half of the season. They were very confident, and that Ohio State game ended up being a blowout loss to a super talented team. But I think people forget that they went into that game very confident. They played them close for a half and a quarter, and then Jake Rudock hurt his shoulder, and the game was over. So, like, I think that they have enough sort of – that's where I'm coming around to in this long-winded statement I'm making here, where I think they kind of have enough, yeah. If they're at their best and Ohio State makes some mistakes to kind of, you know, to have a chance. But you got to be perfect, and I think that's still the long and short of it. So, yeah.
What do you anticipate Ann Arbor, Michigan Stadium, being like? Because there's that fine line of overwhelming anxiety. That turns you into a subdued crowd.
I think
versus the rabid lunacy, right? I think it's gonna be. I don't know where it's gonna.
I think it's gonna be subdued because I don't think either team really knows what to think, or either side. Mm. In 16, mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember now. 2016, Michigan fans were confident, right? Like if I'm remembering right and putting myself back there, obviously I think Wilton Spate's injury probably played a role there, but I think they were. You know, if he's healthy, right? Like, I think that was the mood from people that day. And I remember trying to be down in Columbus. Like, that was kind of what people thought then, too. Like, they were kind of like, well, we'll see. But, you know, we're Ohio State, so obviously we think we're good. But both sides, I think, were like, hey, I think we're pretty good here. Probably, you know, going to win this football game. That was that energy. This one, I wonder if it'll almost be like, I don't know what's going to happen here. I'm not really sure. Which is also a cool kind of atmosphere because it usually turns into like unhinged reactions later when they all kind of boil over. But that's what this feels like to me. I mean, just vibing with people to like, you know, the Michigan people certainly think they have a chance if they cut it right, right, and play it perfect and be opportunistic and all these things. And you're looking at Ohio State and they're saying this, you know, like, hey, we're still Ohio State, and we are loaded. So if you didn't catch that game Saturday, like, I mean, I don't know what more proof you need. So, yeah, same old there.
Technical difficulties, folks. Sorry about that. Blame me, as per usual.
Okay, we're back after some technical difficulties and some breaking news on the podcast. We see here that it looks like I'm seeing it. I don't know who broke the story. Chris Fanini. Oh, it looks like Penn State football's announced it. Chris Fanini tweeted it as 10 years for James Franklin. A 10-year contract for James Franklin at Penn State. What? Well, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to get too deep down in the woods on that one. I do wonder if that signals teams and programs. Maybe.
This is great. This statement. This is great.
What did it say?
Quote, this is Franklin's official statement in the press release. Penn State's future is bright, and I'm honored to continue to serve as your head football coach. 9 weeks ago, the administration approached me about making a long-term investment in our football program.
9 weeks
this ago. Prompted numerous conversations outlining the resources needed to be competitive at a level that matches the expectations and history of Penn State. Translation, ignore the fact that of these recent years and the results. It's actually the fault of the program standing in the larger scheme of things and is not
a byproduct. How many extensions has he gotten?
I have no idea.
10 years, folks? You want to keep... Hey, does anybody want to call Paul Feinbaum and see if he's got any comments on that one? Or are we just going to talk about Harbaugh forever? I mean, like, right. At some point a spade has to be called a spade there, guys. I mean, that's all I'll say on that one. 10 years. I mean, I understand wanting to be consistent. You know, I think that there are teams out there, or programs out there that are starting to see the merits of that. Like, if you've got a guy that is pretty good, that maybe you should be willing to ride it out with him more. You know, that's not happening in the SEC, of course, as we see that, you know, they're firing people every 30 seconds, just chaos.
I wonder how much of it has to do with also the cycle that is occurring right now, the coaching carousel.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
That we are in. These guys have all the leverage in the world, whether it's Mel Tucker, whether it's James Franklin. They just have all the leverage. And it's not only because of however you want to paint their success for it. It's the marketplace. Like Penn State, Michigan State wants nothing to do with getting into this
it's gonna be horrible.
It'd be a disaster.
It's going to be horrible.
They'd be like the sixth or seventh most attractive job on the market, right? You got LSU.
And you're dealing with teams that are going to do things that you don't want to do to get a coach. Fair?
Yep.
Or not. Yeah. Michigan or Michigan State or any of these teams up here. You're right. Yeah. Penn State too.
Oh, when you're talking LSU, USC, Florida.
Big Ten in general.
Miami. Yeah.
You don't want anything to do with it. I'm sorry. You just don't.
Is Miami open? Did they fire Diaz?
I think it probably will be. I mean, it seems like that's the assumption that it will be open. But that'll be open. LSU's open. USC's open. You know, if
Washington's a better job than both
Washington's open. If Kiffin takes Miami, you know, you got another SEC job open. You know what I mean? Florida's open. We haven't talked about Florida. Florida's open again. Just open. You know, just came open. Florida's open for like the sixth time in like 12 years or something like this. Mm-hmm. Like, how many head coaches has Florida had since Harbaugh's been been there? Like four? Is this like the third? Those would be the third head coach? I mean, my God. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, back to Michigan.
Back to the game.
Back to Michigan, Maryland here. Did you see any of this? Did you have any thoughts on this one?
Before I watched some of it. What'd you think about a little bit?
What'd you think about this one?
I don't think Maryland's very good, first of all. I thought it was a really good response by an experienced team, though. In a bad spot, a potentially bad spot, that weird Saturday afternoon where it kind of starts getting cold and dark and no one gives a shit and half the crowd's
100%.
Kind of rooting for you and half the crowd's indifferent.
Yeah.
and you just, you know, you have one really bad quarter where you just kind of turn it off and then suddenly a team bangs you for two touchdowns and you realize you're about to piss away your entire season. Michigan didn't do that.
No.
They went out there and they were like, we're the better team, and they just beat the hell out of them. And, you know, they're showing some big play stuff. Which you're gonna need, you know. I don't know if I would have shown a trick play against Maryland. Well, maybe keep that in the pocket.
Yeah,
that's what
the reaction was that I saw from people. But I think you nailed it, because I think that this team has sort of shown the difference all year in subtle ways, and I think even in the loss, you know. And I would say this, like, you know, they lost to Michigan State. They didn't have their best game at all. They didn't play well, or at least not up to their standard, I suppose, in terms of not making mistakes. Didn't coach well. Wasn't their best coaching day either, but. You know, they got better after that. They didn't get worse or stay the same or lose a bunch. They got better. They kept grinding and they got better. And I think that the way they've sort of been able to boil the season down to almost like one set of downs at a time, they have the right mix for that. And it's been noted, and I think this was a perfect example of that, in that they just came out and hammered a team. It was never something where you were just going to screw around with them or whatever and kind of, you know, look at the scoreboard or see anything or see what Ohio State did or not care one way or the other and just go out and do your thing, because you know, I think this is also a group that probably, you know, was counting down how much more time they have together, right? Like, I think that mm-hmm. these types of teams, when it gets this late in the year, you know, these games that you as fans sometimes maybe don't think much of are huge deals to these guys, you know, like huge deals sure. for some of these guys to get in the game, you know, late like this and make plays. And I think that's happening right now. And they just seem like they're in a really good spot. And I think that was the difference. Like, I had people ask me before the game, like, you know, well, I think Maryland's pretty good. You know, I think they could maybe give Michigan. I'm like, yeah, they can give them some tests. But I think that if all we've seen to this point holds up, their focus should be enough in this game to just plow right through this. It shouldn't be a problem. And it wasn't.
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah,
that was good to see for them.
Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So, one thing I wanted to ask you about, I actually made a note of this. It's like, I was looking, you wrote a good column, I thought, coming out of that game, and so, because I'm a lunatic, I accidentally clicked on your tweet and read the responses.
Oh boy!
And there's kind of this notion out there of like, hey man, you've written this story five times in the last 7 years. You know, it doesn't matter until they play Ohio State. Oh, and I'm like, God. That's it's. So what's reductive. The level of like that? What's the level of right of that just being overly reductive and like
it's pathetic,
nonsensical?
It's pathetic.
Versus like, well, at the same time, yeah, like this is what you measure yourself up against, and if you can't measure to that, then what else is?
Yeah.
Then what is everything else worth? You know what I mean? So can you kind of talk through that?
That's all this. It's all. First of all, that's tweeted by someone who's not reading the story. I don't care who the person was. First of all, you know. And to say that that's written every year, to be clear, you can go back and check, my man.
Yeah.
The receipts. Yeah. They're all online. Every word I've written for the last 7 years, my friend. Go fucking check it. Take that shit somewhere the fuck else is what I would say on that. Other people have written the same stuff for 7 years. Not yours truly. That's what I would say to that one.
I did not know this was going to get this spicy. This is excellent.
On the second part, you're not wrong in that it is true that, yes, mm-hmm. you have to be able to beat your rival and on the macro scale. Like, this is all important stuff that all has to happen. It goes without saying at this point. He's 0-6. Like, we say it every day. We say it every day. Everything everyone writes is this guy has been nothing close to what they thought he would be. That's what the story mm-hmm. of the last 2 years has been. Every single day. Okay? Like, every single day. And the story of this team in particular is incredibly different from the last four, at least, I'd say, or three, mm-hmm. in that, you know, they've had a togetherness that's been different. They've worked. They haven't really cared what anybody else has had to say. They just, the coaches, I think the moves he made this year was, you know, they've all hit, which has happened before. We'll see if it continues on and on, you know, down the road. But, I mean, for this moment in time right here, this has been impressive stuff. And I think that, you know, if somebody's mad that Michigan State got boat raced and that Michigan won a game and now Michigan gets a stage, that, you know, fine, I get it. But to say that, sure. You know, everyone's just writing the same thing. Like, I mean, some people probably do, but like, no, there's, you know, you need to pay attention. There's nuance to this story that goes a lot deeper when it's over 7 years. I mean, all that ground's been plowed, as old Harbaugh would say. Like, it's not like that stuff hasn't been talked about into the ground every single day. So.
Yeah, what are the most reasonable things, if you're a Michigan fan, what are the most reasonable things to hang your hat on to have any belief that this is different than every other one?
I think that the most reasonable, the most reasonable thing is the notion or idea, or I think you can say, I would almost, it's as close to a fact as you can get with something like this, that they're not going to quit. You know, that they're going to play the full game. I think that that's what I would say here. I don't think this team is going to get rattled. You know, the thing we talked about when we watch, and we'll talk about Michigan State here in a second as we talk about Ohio State. You know, the thing I was disappointed watching the Michigan State for Michigan State on that end was like, not that they got overwhelmed or avalanched by Ohio State, but like they got punched and did not respond. They got punched and staggered and just kind of like, oh God, you know, and it's like, what do we do? And all of a sudden it's, you know, 49-0 or whatever. And it's just like, can't have that. Like they just did not have the, you know, for that moment and that stage. And for whatever reason, you know, they were thin. They lost some guys. Guys were hurt. They didn't have the full group. Michigan does. Michigan's pretty healthy. They've been through a lot. You know, I think it's a little, I think that's what I would say when you say, you know, what do you have to hang your hat on? I think it's the idea that when Harbaugh says the whole, like, we're going to do this or we're going to die trying, it's like on a deeper sense, it's like, we're going to shoot every bullet that we have. You know, we're not going to leave any stone unturned. And that's the whole year. I mean, if you've really paid attention to this from the start of the year, as we've talked about on this show and everywhere else, and I know our listeners, I got hot there at somebody who probably isn't even a subscriber to the show that you ask a question about. But like,
that really was a great,
they all know,
glass of gasoline.
I mean, they all know, right? I mean, it's just like, they know how this goes, and it's a long process and all this stuff. But I do think that this team, unlike other teams, has that whatever to sort of not just like fall over the minute they get punched in the mouth. We'll see. But that's happened in this game before.
In the last game, the Michigan State game, right? Ohio State would outclass them at
every turn,
all four,
every turn,
all five spots, right? Offense versus defense, backfield versus passing game.
Yeah, there was nothing that it was bad.
Both sides of the ball, special teams, coach. It was just two different teams that were just worlds apart.
Right?
Are there any aspects of the game, any matchups across the ball on either side, where you think like Michigan, right? Can have an advantage.
Well,
because otherwise, how the hell does this happen?
This is what I would say. It's not have an advantage. It's this. I think, and this is how I would cut this. Like Michigan State, when I look at that game, and Mel Tucker said it at the end of the game there, and he's 100% right. And what I just said is a factor too. Like, and it shouldn't be overlooked. And over, you know, they had an issue with guys not feeling the moment and disappearing in that game. I mean, they just did. You don't go down 49-0 or whatever it was at halftime if if that doesn't happen. And it did. So that's a problem separate. But, and this kind of ties in, you know, it's recruiting. We need more guys that can win one-on-ones. That was Mel Tucker's answer at the end, which is 100% accurate. And Michigan has more guys that can win one-on-ones in this game on offense. Defense, good luck. You don't have a lot of guys that can win one-on-ones in this game, except for Hutchinson and Ojabo. Maybe Daxon Hill, but I wouldn't put him in there. Hutchinson and Ojabo are the two guys that can maybe make this thing if you can get, you know, your zones fit right, your coverage drops right. You got to be physical with these receivers. You can't let them get free releases. You can't let them get free paths underneath. You've got to reroute. Right. You've got to rub them. All the stuff. And just be assholes and grab and pull and get in the way. I mean, you've got to be able to throw sand in the gears. Michigan has more guys, I think, than Michigan State that can do that on the back end. But you don't have enough to stop them. So, like, that, what I think the game comes down to is you've got to be able to score in the 40s. And you've just got to be able to get enough stops, kind of like Oregon did, you know, enough stops in that game to sort of, if you can bother them enough to get them off kilter for a couple drives, maybe you get a couple punts, you can turn those into points. Now you're ahead of you're ahead of the sticks or whatever in terms of the back and forth. If you can stay there, like, that's the recipe. So for Michigan State, that was the same recipe. It was going to be incredibly difficult for them to pull that off. It's going to be very difficult for Michigan to pull off. But the difference between incredibly difficult and very difficult, it's pretty big, you know, it's not nothing. So I think that's what I would say. I think that Michigan offensively, you look at guys like Corum and Donovan Edwards and Andrel Anthony and Henning, Cornelius Johnson. All those guys can play in this game. All those guys can make plays against this defense. You know, if you give them a chance, you get them in space, deliver the ball, put it on time. They've got Eric All. They've got guys that can do some things here. But, you know, this is the big one for Cade and the O-line, where it's like, you know, your run game can't vanish the way we've seen before in the Ohio State game. It can't be where you've just rolled everyone for 300 yards all year, and then you get in this game, and suddenly it's 27 carries for 40 yards. And we're like, what the hell happened? Like, you know, all the 9-on-7 stuff they've talked about and all this, like, it's got to show up. So you have to be at your absolute best. But I think that they're, you know, the path that Michigan State had was similar, but the result can be the same if you're not, you know, stabilized when the game starts.
And they're, when the game starts. That's, when the game that starts. To me, yeah.
And Michigan State, you know, wasn't. That's the bottom line.
I saw a Harbaugh's comment yesterday about, like, this is when the playoffs begin. And I get, like, I'm sure some people were probably, like,
they made fun of him, but Mel said the same thing the week before. But,
it's 100% true. Right. Yeah. It is 100% true. So, yeah. Like, you need to go into the first possession of the game being like, this is for the national championship.
You know, this,
like,
is for everything we've ever done.
You need to treat that first possession as if it's like the whole thing's riding on, because they just bang you. And when Ohio State bangs you, man, like, one touchdown in the first quarter feels like three. You're immediately just like, oh,
they just take your
they're
soul.
Going,
like they
they're
just,
going to murder everyone in the stadium. You know, like, and I say that tongue in cheek, but like.
The best way I can describe it is, okay, 2018, we're sitting up there in the press box, the one where Michigan got beat, like gave up 60 points, wherever it was. Mm-hmm. And on the first drive, like the first drive of the game, when they got that, they had the single safety back and they got those dudes out there split and they let them run those crossers. And you could see from upstairs how wide open they were. You were like, oh, fuck. They're going to score 150 points. Like, Orion was sitting next to me. I'm like, they're not going to stop them. They're going to score every time they throw the ball. Like, they do this thing to you where they put on display how much slower you are than them.
Yes.
If you want to test it. And, like, they will let you test it, and it will be so demoralizing. And I think that that's, yeah, like, you're right. I mean, it's like, if you're not ready at the start, it's over, man.
And I do wonder if it's helpful that, you know, Michigan already played Michigan State and now, you know, is able to watch the film.
I think that's, like, always helpful in this game for them.
You
know,
and like, because there were some quotes, reading Colton's story, he had, like, one quote from someone at Michigan State that was like, you think you know how fast they are.
Yeah.
And then you kind of go through the first couple of plays and you're just like,
it's a different.
Oh, my God. Right. So being able to kind of cross match those almost of look, you know what it was like to play Michigan State. And here's those same guys with these dudes running past them like they are standing waiting for a bus, you know. So
like a
you
damn
know, you
traffic
better.
Cone.
Like, yeah, man. Like.
These receivers here now are like spatial artists on a football field. Mm. Their body control and athleticism, they are a different kind of, I mean, they're all just phenomenal athletes, right? And when we think about receivers, we think about the guy that can just go screaming down the field at 1,000 miles an hour, which they can do. But like Jackson Smith and Jigba and Wilson and Olave, they're all like this, but what they do that's different is they get to a top of a route and they have a wiggle or a shake or they turn or they do something with their body that changes direction without losing any speed. Right. And so you are on your ass trying to, like, keep up with this guy who's doing all these things. And it's that little wiggle and little turn that they'll do with losing no speed, that agility and that short area quickness. They're impossible. In these windows, like, I'm writing something for Friday, like, just you're going over every single thing and what you can do in terms of coverages, and it's like, I just kind of was looking at it, and I'm like, they have a cover two beater, a cover four, a cover three, whatever. It's all these guys, and anything they can do, if you give Stroud that extra half second of time for them to sort of create the top of a route, it's over. You can't cover that. You're asking your guy to cover 3 full seconds. That's hard enough. But now when this guy's got you in the palm of his hand, and on a string,
and you can't do anything with him. It's like an amazing point guard, right? Who's got everybody on the string. It's like three awesome point guards out here that are just crossing people over and just playing with you. And so, like, that's what these guys have done to people all year. And Stroud has that NFL arm, has the big stuff, can do all the things that we talk about there. And it's just, you got to be able to, like you said, you got to be able to find little moments in the game, and which requires you to be ready for war the minute you walk in the stadium, because, like, it's going to be the hardest game of your life. I think that's the that's the thing that I guess is hard for some coaches and coaches to get into teams' heads over the years. You know, I've heard hundreds of times all these people talk about, you know, has so and so, you know, is Harbaugh taking the Michigan game serious enough? Is Brady Hoke taking the Michigan game serious enough? Is Rodriguez and all these people taking it serious enough? And blah 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 and all this stuff. And it's like, I mean, I think that they are, but at some point, like, you've got to, like, it's really difficult, and you've got to know it, and you've kind of got to do it and see it. And sometimes I think you just have to have the right type of guy to get that into their head. You know, like, this is going to take something that D'Antonio had some teams that were good at that. You know, they could kind of distill that, like, this is going to take something that is not normal, that is above what we normally have. And we don't know, you know.
And so, those teams that if Ohio State turns the ball over, it's you score a touchdown.
You have to, right now.
You can't take a turnover and then punt it back to them, because they're going to then just hit you on a 70-yard touchdown. You're going to be like, well, shit.
That was a waste of time. Yeah, right. It's just demoralizing. Every mistake you make just gets magnified that much greater, because they won't give you anything back. You know, and every time you give them or let them off the hook, you know it. So it's not just the fans in the building when you're like, oh, that was a missed opportunity. It's like everyone down there is like, well, shit. Like, yeah, that was, we all know, guys, that was a missed opportunity, and we're not getting it back. So, like,
it's a brutal game.
Yeah. Hard.
The funniest thing to me is that we are sitting here having this absurd conversation and no Michigan fans listening anymore, because they're just like, oh, I don't want to hear this.
I can't take it.
The how normal it is for Ohio State is just crazy. Like, so I was at a book watching the game on Saturday.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're just cooking them, man.
The room was half Ohio State.
Sure, yeah.
They could have given a shit.
Just another day at the office.
You know, they just started hitting up all these touchdowns. It's like, oh, yeah.
About time.
Oh, wait. You know, like, like any other team, just dismantle, right, a top 10 conference opponent like that. The people would be losing their shit, right? It'd be a whole scene. They could have been. It was as plain as day. It was like beating Central Arkansas in a bye game in September.
You know something? Like, our buddy Nezzy always tells me that, you know, Ryan Day has never lost a Big Ten game. I don't think, right? I think he's undefeated in the Big Ten. And obviously Michigan hasn't lost to Ohio State in a long time. Mm-hmm. Ryan Day is like 50-2. If he loses this game, like, they're going to make him pay for his own transit home. Like, I mean, it's not acceptable. Like, that's what this has become there. And so I do think if you're Michigan, you have to start using some of that against them when you can. You have to be like, hey, Ryan Day, I know Urban Meyer, the crazy loon, can handle the pressure of this nut job crazy situation that you guys have built here. Can you?
Right.
Because I got to tell you, Ryan Day, it looks like you've packed on a couple pounds over the last few years. You don't look as good as you once did. So if I'm Michigan, I'm like, hey, he looks like he's pretty stressed. They look like they're pretty stressed.
Now, this is the narrative I'm here for.
That's what I want. Like, so if you're Michigan, you say, we need to put some stress on them in this game and see how they react. Because that's kind of been the thing where it's like, this is a different. Ryan Day's coaching this game once.
Once. Yes.
He didn't get last year, right? And so. And he's an awesome coach. Like, I shouldn't have said that. Like, whatever. But, like, he's an awesome coach.
I
would gain 700 pounds if I were a coach. He's an awesome coach. But the stress of this and, like, all the expectations that ride on it, I mean, my God. It's crazy. Like, to your point, like, it's nothing to blow Michigan State out 80-0. And then if you lose this Michigan game, heaven forbid.
Personally, I'm all on board. I think you need to write a column. This needs to happen. I think
when both teams come out, Harbaugh should yell across the field, "Hey there, don't, barrel ass!
Don't blow it!
You're looking a little thick!
Don't blow you it, know, big boy!" Just, like, I mean, that's what Michigan did in the 90s. I mean, anybody who wants to act like it was something different is talking a different memory than I remember. Michigan was always a team that walked into that game, underrated, the lower-ranked team, or higher-ranked, whatever you want to call it, and would into the team that was, like, supposed to have it all on the line. They'd be like, "Don't blow it!" And then they would blow it, and then it would be like, "Whoa, shit!" You know, like Michigan State has done to them. Well, of course, never with the same stakes. They were not as good, obviously, as Ohio State, but, like, yeah, Urban could stand up to it. Tressel could stand up to it, like, and crazy at crazy levels, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Can Ryan Day? I still don't know. I think that that's still a question to ask. That's a machine, man. That Ohio State thing. Damn. I mean, it'll kill you. Like, if you're not on top of your stuff, like, there's a lot on the plate. Yeah. And I just, like, he has not been doing this that long, you know? Like, that's sort of what keeps kind of going in my head, where I watch them play and they're so good. And I've spent the last couple days going over all their offensive stuff, and it's like, they're so good, and he runs such great stuff. But there are times when, like, it'll just sort of be funky or off, and you can look at, like, the just stress dripping off of his body on the sideline, because it's like, one thing is off, and now you're punting, and the whole stadium's like, "What the hell is this? It's only 7-3 against Nebraska in the second quarter, Ryan!" You know, and you're just like, "Yeah, sorry, guys," you know, like,
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I keep, like, thinking when I'm watching these games. Like, the Oregon game, to think to what's going on in his head. You're losing this game at home. Urban, obviously the same thing happened, but the pressure. You know, those are the things, I guess, I think about at Ohio State right now that people don't talk about, you know. And it's like, sure, the pressure those guys are under. And they handle it every year on an insane level. And that's the thing, I guess, too, that probably doesn't get talked about enough either, is that Ohio State goes into this game every year with the exact same thing. Don't be the team that blows it. If you're all the stuff we talk about on the Michigan end of being like, "Hey, wouldn't it be great if you were the team that ended the streak?" You flip it over and you're like, "You want to be the losers who blew this thing to these guys?" I mean, that pressure is, I can't even begin to understand what that would be like. So those are things that I think about in this game every time, because it's there and it's real, and people care about it so deeply, as you've seen over the years. It's not fake. That's not made up. I mean, I've been around this long enough now to say that every one of these has been, the emotion is genuine. I've seen people look gutted, like, to a point of, like, "Are you going to be okay after these games?" You know, and vice versa. You know, you've seen people excited to the point of, "Are you going to be okay after these games?" So, you know, it's very real, and I think that that's still something for Ryan Day that I do wonder about. I don't know. Is that wrong? Is that not fair? Like, nobody talks about that.
We'll find out. That doesn't get talked about a lot.
And he's such a good coach. Maybe kinda, it doesn't matter, you know? I don't know. But
sure. It just kind of just...
I mean...
It's hard when their talent gap is as dramatic as it is to really be,
but
like...
But the pressure, okay, the well, pressure that guy. Comes with that, though, you know?
Sure.
Is so crazy. And it's just... I think that sometimes that's... When you haven't done it for that long, we take for granted. You know, you take it for granted. You take Urban Meyer just doing it over and over again for granted. And it's like... It's not easy to do, you know. At some point, you trip, you know. At some point, you stumble. And to never stumble is a lot to carry. And it just gets harder and harder to carry that over and over again, you know.
Do you have anything else on the game before we move over to the Mel Tucker situation and Michigan State's close to the season?
I just think, you know, I think for Michigan folks, and I think most of them who are listening, you know, our listeners here and people that we talk to and interact with, understand that this has been a really good year for Michigan football, that this has been a good job, a very good job by Jim Harbaugh and his staff to this point. It's not a job done, right? Like, I don't think anyone would say that. You're still judged ultimately on what you can and can't do against Ohio State. But within the context of what was asked this year, and we've talked about that a few times on the show, but I mean, again, I'd say, I mean, especially after last week, you know, they're 10-1. You think to Thanksgiving a year ago, when they were losing to Penn State at home, or whatever, on Thanksgiving weekend, that they'd be 10-1 going into the Ohio State game next year? I mean, are you kidding me? Like, that's not something that anyone would have said. It wasn't. I mean, they were rock bottom low last year. That was the worst I've probably, right? Like, you've been around for a while. I can't think of a worse mood from people than the end of the COVID season. That
was
Michigan fans.
It was miserable. That was miserable.
So to go from that, where it really did look hopeless, like if you were going to go forward in anything resembling that, that it was going to be like you are going to get the same result and maybe worse. To go from that to this, pretty good. And when you look at the coaches he brought in here, pretty good. Mike Hart,
yeah.
Mike McDonald, Matt Weiss. These are really good. Really good young football coaches. Ronald Bellamy, that, you know, that now have ties to this place and are going to have ties to this place for a long time, whether they stay here or don't, you know, in the futures. So Gaddis, Cerrone, Moore, they've all done a great job. It's been, you know, I think that you can't, whatever happens, obviously you don't want to get boat raced and all those things, and you can't unsee.
Right.
You can't unsee things, which is what we're about to talk about with Michigan State. But, but, you know, like, to this point, it's been everything you can ask for, but that's also like you're to the point earlier about the guy who's like, you know, you've been writing the same thing for 7 years, asshole. You get right back to this, and it's like if you show the same hapless, you are not on the same level in this game, then what does it matter?
Right.
And to that point, that's not totally irrelevant either. So both things at play there, but I think both things are true too, and I think it's hard to sort out for a lot of people, and I understand that. Not everybody gets paid to watch this thing as close as we do, right? So sure. I get that. But yeah, Mel Tucker and the Spartans, not a good day on Saturday. Not a good day. There will be better days, but that was rough. And
it was a body bag.
Yeah, it was just a bad, not something that I expected. I just didn't. Mm-hmm. I did not expect, you know, and I knew it was possible. I'm not going to say that I didn't think it was possible. Obviously, any team playing Ohio State Michigan has a chance to get beat, you know, down like that. Obviously, in this game, we've seen it happen. But I didn't think this team mentally. I thought there was more there. You know, that there would be more of a punch back. Not that you'd take control of the game or something, but I thought that it would be more resistance than zero, which is what it was. Yes. And so to me, I would ask you the same thing because you've watched these guys this year. Like, I was surprised. I was surprised that they got knocked off the tracks and they never got up. You know, that surprised me a bit. Did it surprise you? Knowing that it's possible, because you were more of the mind that this was probably going to happen.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Michigan State's defensive secondary, I was just like, well, this is just...
Right, well, sure. It was a mess.
It's just going to be open traffic lanes, you know? Like, when you get on the highway and the first thing in the morning before everyone else, you feel like you can just do whatever you want, drive it down the middle of the road if you want. And that was that secondary, you know?
Traffic cones.
Traffic cones. I'm not terribly surprised of the blowout, mainly the avalanche, when you think about it along the lines of, like, this team has no idea what this level of success looks like, feels like, experiences like, and, you know, they beat Michigan. They won what was the biggest game on their schedule. They felt, you know, super...
And got a great effort, right? Exactly inspired. What you needed in that game, too, right?
And at the same time, like, you get to the show, man, and you've never been there, and nobody on that roster has ever done anything like that in that type of setting.
Life in the big city, you know, brother.
Just you're in the snake pit, you know, and you don't have any shoes on, for God's sake. And
pretty much.
And those guys, they just, I think it went bang, bang, and then everyone looked at each other and said, oh fuck.
Yeah.
And that was the response. And Mel Tucker can be the greatest goddamn motivator on the planet. And he can have all of the sayings in the world. And he can be this. Yeah. And he can be that. You're not going to go corral 70 guys and be like, hey, snap out of it. That ain't happening. They were shot.
Yeah.
That thing was over.
No. And I think that
it goes off the rails and then it's just done.
When you open the second half with, and people have been passing the old graphic that ESPN showed, or Fox or whoever had the game, the you know, Mel Tucker's keys to the second half were body language and effort or something like that, or whatever. And it was like,
I'd have been like, okay, make sure we have a full tank.
Right, because it was like, bus. I don't want to see anybody like punching each other on the sidelines in a fit of rage. And like, we have to play the rest of the game. And to their credit, they did play the rest of the game. They didn't, you know, totally give up and everything else. So they were able to do that at least. But, and part of this is, like I said earlier, part of this is what you fix in recruiting. But part of this is also part of your evaluation on the roster as you go forward. Like, you did not have enough guys on this team that were on your bus Saturday. You know, obviously you didn't have enough guys that were going to win one-on-ones. You didn't have enough guys that were going to compete.
Right.
That's what I saw. You didn't have enough guys that had what it takes to not look around and say, oh, shit. And then, like, sort of, like, get out of the way of the train as it's rolling down the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's a problem. And I don't think, you know, they didn't have enough of those. And I thought they had more of those. I didn't think they had, you know, enough to win the game. I'm not going to say that, you know, that's something crazy, you know, I'm, you know, like that. But like, I think if I'm Mel Tucker, I'm probably a little disappointed that I would have liked to see more from some of those guys that just put up, you know, just didn't see any fight. It was too much. Yeah. Too much shock. And it wasn't one guy. It was everybody. It was really everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess other than Kenneth Walker, who did look like make it, you know, he got them down the field on one drive. But everything else was just like, it looked like they weren't capable of being on that stage, like you said. And they've got guys that are capable. And that was a challenge, I think, for them that they're going to have to overcome. Peyton Thorne said something, you know, like, I'm never going to forget this day or whatever afterward. And I told Colton, I was like, that has to be what it is for them. The real competitors... Right. Are going to have to take that as like, you know, I'm not going to be able to watch that tape back because that was a team that was playing scared. You know, that's what that was. That looked like children against adults. And that looked like the beginning of the Tucker era, right? Days that we talked about that we can't see anymore. And
and the thing is, like, Tucker's been on the other side of that too. Yeah. He's been at Alabama where they just took teams that thought they had some juice.
So what? Yeah,
and showed them how big the gap is.
Right. And what does that say about what Ohio State thinks of you after a game like that, where they took your soul in 6 minutes, basically, because you didn't have enough to like rally the troops and, you know, gather yourself. It's not just about, you know, and it's the thing. Michigan would go through the same thing. It's not just. I mean, obviously, you've got a talent gap here. I mean, there are things that are, but it's not just about you can't run with this guy. It's like, if it's so bad that you're just giving them open, like you said, like you're just running through open caverns of like space, then you're not even there. And that's what it was. Yeah. It's like everybody was in like outer space. They all like lost their mind. And, you know, Mel Tucker's job at halftime wasn't some speech about how we, you know, whatever. It was like, hey, we all need to like put our helmets back on, go back out there, put one foot in front of the other and make sure that we're here and not, you know, to a point where we're going to beat 200-0. Because, like, I need you all to return to Earth. And, like, that was, that, you know, that stuff that, yeah, recruiting is going to take care of a lot of that, too. But, like, in terms of where they're at and where they're going, I think that that's a measuring stick piece here that probably needs to be looked at. I'm curious to see how they respond this week, big time. And they're thin. You know, they've got guys banged up. But, like, Penn State's coming off the heels of re-signing Franklin to the 10-year contract, right? Everything's right again. We have an update.
You ready for the? Do you want the figures on this?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Of course. What are the figures? He's setting the market.
Oh. I think it appears it's 7.5 a year.
All right. So 75 over 10.
With $1 million for the insurance. So technically, in my book, that makes it 8.5.
Okay. So 85 a year or 85 total.
85 total, and. I think a big chunk of it's pretty guaranteed here.
So Michigan State's going to pay Mel Tucker more than that?
I guess.
James Franklin's won the Big Ten, been to the Rose Bowl, right? He has signed recruiting classes that Mel Tucker purports to being capable of signing, but we have not seen yet. Okay. I mean, hey, you got to do what you got to do. And I think that I've had no...
Yeah, let's talk about I don't think we've really... Have we talked about this? We talked about it last week, I guess, a little
bit. The contract?
Right? Yeah.
No, because this started really popping.
Oh, didn't we not?
After we recorded last week, I believe.
Oh, I guess we didn't talk about it. Okay, well, let's talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of these numbers that are being thrown around and the reporting on it that, you know... Hey, there were times last week I thought that...
It sounded like it was done.
I thought Penn was on paper.
Yeah, Penn was not on paper.
And it is now Tuesday of this week, and there's nothing official appears to have have come up yet, but... I'm not reading too much into that. I'm guessing this happens. I don't know. Everything might have been,
let's
premature.
Well, I think it was just framed. People, it's hard in these situations because these are very fluid. But I think that the takeaway that needs to be, the only takeaway from that I took away that's like something that we can firmly hold is like, okay, that's a point. Or whatever, is that you have someone at Michigan State that is like, I have enough money that we can pay him up to $95 million. Right. I'm willing to pay him $95 million over 10 years to be the head football coach at Michigan State. We have that money. We can do that. With escalators and with staff pay and with this, we have the money to cover the package that includes 95 for Coach Tucker and whatever we need for X, Y, and Z. All the things we talked about, right? Which is all stuff they've been talking about for weeks, right? Like, we talked about that on the show the day after they beat Michigan. They were talking about this, you know, what's the figure going to have to be and, you know, how far away do you need to be and all that. So it's stuff that's been going on for some time and it's not something that they haven't been paying attention to. But I don't think it was at a point where it was like, maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, I don't know if it was a contract sitting on his desk ready to go necessarily. And I don't know if you're Mel Tucker, if it was all the way like, am I going to let this go to the market? Am I going to wait until the end of the season to sign this to really see what's there? Which, you know, the end of the season here is one more week, right?
Yep.
Or if you were Michigan State in that situation, or the people that are trying to put this together, I should say, in that situation, were you trying to get him into a spot where we need you to sign this, Mel, right now? We need you to agree or whatever right now. Like, I don't know. But that's what that looked like to me. And these are situations that, you know, are fluid and go on and on and on. And, you know, no matter what people say to anybody, that until things are signed and done in these spots, you know, it's all intent. You know, I mean, we've been over this with different things. So I think the point to take away is that Michigan State, as reported, will have the money to compete for Mel Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not you think they should, I guess, is a different conversation. I guess I haven't asked you. What are your thoughts on this here, my man? As a... someone who knows the situation and the place pretty well. All things considered here, what are your thoughts on the paying your coach all that money?
I get if it's, you know, the thing that keeps on being touted is this, you know, private money. That's great. I get it. And for sure, that place is not in a position to cut that a number like that itself, and I think it'd be irresponsible to do so. But you know, yeah, it's great if someone's willing to do that. But it reframes everything, man. You're running around with a coach making almost $100 million, and he's the second, whatever highest paid coach in football.
Yeah, it reframes
what
everything.
What does success look like? What is success then?
Well, I mean, he just said...
So you're competing for national championships almost immediately.
That's what I would deem you're trying to do. He said, right. I mean, what are we talking about now? Mel Tucker talked about... Okay, let me start at this. If you're Michigan State and you lose... And I think Mel Tucker's a good football coach. We've talked about this. My opinion on him has not changed. I think he has...
And they should do. They should be doing everything they can to retain him.
I think he has what it takes to be the guy that can get you all the things you want at Michigan State.
No doubt.
And I think that you can pay him for that. And I think that you can pay him whatever you need to pay him for that. And I think you can tell yourself you need to be competitive. Because if you lose him over money, you might as well just go to the MAC. What's the point? If you're not going to pay, that's what everyone else is doing. So if you're not going to compete, then don't bother. Like, you know, like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, at some point, your financial commitment is going to have to go up. So, like, I understand all that, but you know what?
That is totally fair.
At the
That's
end of totally the day, fair. Though, like you said, I mean, what it takes to recruit at a level to beat Ohio State, what it takes is signing top five classes every year.
top three classes. Mm-hmm. You think he can do that here? Michigan can't do that. Penn State can't do that. Notre Dame can't do that. Only five teams do that. Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, and Clemson. And if you want to ask all five of those teams what they have in common, you can go poll their head coaches and their recruiting coordinators and see what they have in common. I don't think that's going to happen up here. Maybe it will. NIL is a different story now. Like, that's going to be something that we have to watch and change. I was talking to somebody today that told me something about NIL that is interesting that I don't know is finalized yet. But, I mean, that's a Wild West. We don't know how that's going to impact things. Could be a big deal for Michigan State. If Mel Tucker can sort of capitalize on that, he's a savvy guy. I think those are things that you're looking at if you're Michigan State. It's like a full package of, like, we're walking into this pre-crazy, you know, frontier here about college sports with NIL and all these things that we don't know where we're going, but at least we have a guy that knows the score and is at least going to be positioned to give us the best chance. I think that's what you're buying in Mel Tucker if you're Michigan State, and I think that's what you sort of have to put yourself in the market to be competitive for. But you're right. You have to then say to yourself, we have to be recruiting at Michigan and Penn State's level now. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say. If you're paying Mel Tucker 95 over 10, you need to be recruiting at their level. You need to be taking kids from Michigan, Notre Dame, and Penn State every year. Every year. Mm-hmm. Not once either. Every year. And we don't say, oh, brave little, oh, look at those little guys over there. They scrapped, oh, they're scrappy class. Uh-huh. Oh, they scrapped in there and they got a, oh, no. That's over. That doesn't continue. Right. When you want to walk on the big floor and you tell everyone you think you can get there, we don't say, oh, look at how hard they played. Like, so that's something that a lot of people, I saw it on Saturday, my man, on Twitter. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are going to have to adjust to that. So we'll see how that goes.
And like, to me, this is, it's kind of like the opposite order of how things go. Usually it's like the major massive investment in infrastructure and building out the facilities and things like that, or, you know, getting a fan base to a certain point of, like, you know, elite levels of attendance, and like those questions are no longer a thing, right? And and you have everything at a certain level, and then, okay, well, you're running this like a Fortune 500 company. Now you're going to go pay your goddamn CEO, right? So now you go and get the guy and you pay him a truck ton of money. To have the program where, like, they're still trying to get the facilities to where they want them.
Yeah.
And they're still trying to get a lot of things to where they want it. To give the money first to the coach is...
I think you're stuck. I think you just kind of got to do it. And I agree. You know? Yeah, it's a hard spot.
Yeah. Like that, and that's the thing. And if the money's coming where it's, you know, said to be coming from, I guess it is outrageous money.
It's outrageous. It's outrageous.
And this is not.
You're gonna have people there that are not happy.
It's not like
that's real.
Like when pro teams spend their money, I never understand why fans get like upset when pro teams, you know, sign guys to money. I'm like, who gives a shit? It's play money. It's a billionaire has money and this is what they're doing with it. Who cares? Like, this is a college. It's a state institution. You know what I mean? It is, and I'm sure there are fans who are just don't want to hear any of that shit.
Hey, I get that too.
If that's your,
I get
if
that
that's,
too. But it's a,
that's how you want to look at it.
It's the same conversation we had with Michigan when Harbaugh got here. It was like, do you have the whatever, you know, the you know what,
the stomach to do it?
To do it, and it's going to take, and you're going to walk down that road that you don't even know where it's going to, because the expectation is going to be the expectation. You want to be a big dog, you got to have the same expectation. Sure. And they had it. They Michigan State's had it pretty good when they've been able to fly under that radar.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And you can
and
you
what
can
we said.
You can tell yourself
what we said an hour
want.
Ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
About the market.
Exactly.
If Mel left, and you're Michigan State, and you're sitting there looking for a coach.
Yeah.
Okay, great. You get to wait. You're eighth in line, boys. You know,
and you better bring the brass knuckles. Like, it's going to be a party,
right?
Yeah,
and you're going to be what? You're going to be offering the same deal that Mel Tucker has at $5.5 million.
You're
going
to have to
go
to the deep water, not to steal Mel's line. You're going to have to pay someone. So I think that the greater point,
you might as well just keep what you have.
If you want to be want to be a team that plays the Big Ten football, yeah, man.
And now, though, there one element of this is. if I'm whoever's cutting the check, if I'm Haller, if I'm the Michigan State, if I'm the president, if I'm the board, if I'm the athletic, if I'm any of these guys, I'm saying, listen, if we're doing this,
I'm in
every
charge.
Every year when the coaching carousel comes up, you're putting that sleep to bed, that shit to bed.
Yeah, okay.
We're not doing it every year.
Okay.
Now you can't, right? But like
you gotta make
needs
it
to be
firmly,
a level.
You're right. You don't want to be
like,
on
fuck that noise. We're not doing this every year.
You don't want to be on your James Franklin 14th extension after the third year.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So anyway.
And we're just like, we don't even know what we're paying for anymore.
My God. Anyway.
But man, I mean, it's also so dumb. I mean, college football is just and basketball.
It's a lot. It's a lot, my man.
A lot of cognitive dissonance.
But yeah, there's a lot to unpack. But right now, I have to go pick the kids up, so we gotta sign up.
Oh, all right. The important things. Yeah. The important things. All right. Well, Nick, this was a good chat. I am.
We'll unpack it more next week, folks.
Who knows? Who knows what happens Saturday? Who knows what happens?
Hey, if they get hammered bad and we see something we can't unsee, that's a different story. But if it's competitive, then yeah, I mean, we got things to talk about next week. One more or the other.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
So that'll do it this week. Hey, if you are not subscribed to The Athletic, this is the week to do so.
Oh, yes.
Our Black Friday sale in full swing, $1 for 12 months. When you subscribe, click on one of Nick or mine's stories and subscribe from there. Give us that. We got expectations to meet there, folks. It's not just Mel Tucker. So we got paying bills too. So subscribe to The Athletic and be sure to tip your bartenders and servers.
Place where